Now, Disney's live-action remake of The Little Mermaid has been doing really well at the American box office, but not so well across some Asian markets. So there was a headline in yesterday's Hollywood Reporter that said The Little Mermaid becomes a blockbuster in the Philippines amid racist backlash elsewhere in Asia. So this isn't the first time that Hollywood have been surprised by the reaction of Chinese audiences. And here to explain Hollywood's fixation on the Chinese box office is Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie. What happened with The Little Mermaid in China? Explain.
It bombed, basically. That's it. Really? It just really, really bombed, yeah. I mean, like, the thing of it is, this isn't the first time that this has happened. Like, I mean, China is, you know, the second largest film market in the world next to the US. Mm. It's absolutely massive.
I don't even know how it's the second largest with their population. How is it not the largest?
Well, like, you see, because, like, a lot of China is, like, it's kind of centered around population centers and all the rest of it. And, like, China's such a big thing. But anyways, the whole reason, and, like, this is another element of this as well, right?
Yeah.
China has strict, and I mean really, really strict rules around censorship. Okay. In fact, they only allow 34 foreign films be screened at China.
Wow.
At any point in the year. And they have to meet really, really strict criteria.
Okay.
It's kind of like, we can get into it, but it's basically like, you know, there can't be any kind of sexuality. There can't be any LGBTQ characters. There can't be anything to do with sexuality or masturbation. Sorry for saying this at 10 o'clock in the morning.
All right.
But you know what I mean? Like, they really do have, like, a big kind of thing about, like, moral issues and all the rest of it. And it has to be, you know, for the benefit of socialism and all the rest of it. And it can't make any kind of jokes about China. China can't be impugned or insulted in any kind of way. And that kind of generally, like, what I've described there is kind of like about 75% of films these
basically.
Days. Do you know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
As in, like, it's, you know, we just don't really think in those terms.
It's presumably becoming harder and harder to get a film that doesn't include at least one of those elements.
Exactly that, yeah. And the films that do generally tend to go there, they generally tend to be quite generic. And not only are they generic, but, you know, because nearly everything nowadays is either a sequel or a remake or a live-action remake.
Yeah.
The films that get sent there, they don't have this kind of, I would say, cultural currency that we would associate.
Yeah.
And the best example of this is The Little Mermaid, because, of course, you know, Little Mermaid was out in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
People who saw that are now in their mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. They probably got kids themselves. And then when, you know, live-action version of Little Mermaid comes to the cinemas, they think, great, I'll send my kids to that and we'll go see it and have a great time. The Chinese film market doesn't have that. So they obviously don't have any kind of cultural nostalgia for
the original or whatever.
Yeah, for the original or anything. Like, The Force Awakens, remember the Star Wars sequels? They all bombed.
Wow.
Absolutely bombed in China.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was because, you know, in 1977 and 1980, then again in 1983, when the original ones were being were being shown, or even the ones with, like, Ewan McGregor, they weren't shown in China.
So they've no connection to...
Exactly, exactly. It's a completely alien concept. And in fact, what Disney did was they actually screened all the original films on the run-up to the release of The Force Awakens, trying to kind of, like, kind of, you know, astroturf a little bit of interest in it. And it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work. And I mean,
what films do well in China? Like, what would... Or is it domestic films?
It is. That's the thing, you see. Like, China does have a very strong indigenous film industry. And, I mean, it's ghastly because a lot of the Chinese films generally tend to be very, very jingoistic. Like, they're very, like, they're like Top Gun, but, like, on even more steroids.
Now, you know, that sort of way.
Like. And, you know, the Chinese military are always the heroes and all the rest of it and all that kind of stuff. So... And they have a really, like, protectionist slant, like, you know, that sort of way. Like, it's in, they want their films to do well at all times.
Yeah.
And they don't really care whether American films do well or not. If they do tend to catch on, then great, fine. They'll show that film in more cinemas. But generally speaking, they want Chinese films to do better. And then they go out and say, oh, well, you know, our Chinese film industry has just completely defeated Top Gun Maverick and all the
so
rest of
strong.
It.
Yeah, of course. It's so strong. They love Fast and Furious movies, don't they? Why is that? Is it just because it's like...
Well, I think it's like, I mean, again, okay, so Fast and Furious is not what we would call politically motivated cinema.
Yes,
you know, that kind of way.
Correct.
It's not like
there's not much of a deeper message.
No, and like not even like the Marvel films, like with Captain America and stuff,
sure,
like that. Do you know that sort of like...
Yeah.
But on the same point as well, like China is a massive car culture. Do you know what I mean?
Huge.
Like you have like, you know, Mercedes and BMWs are everywhere.
Yeah.
You walk around Beijing and you will, like, if you stand on a street corner in Beijing for 10 minutes, chances are you're going to see a supercar blast and by you. Like, I was there a few years back.
Yeah.
And, like, I've never seen any more Porsches than I have in Beijing. Like,
can I ask you about, because you said about maybe, you know, with the Little Mermaid remake and stuff like that, they don't really, wouldn't have a cultural connection or a nostalgia or anything to the original, and therefore it's very hard to get somebody excited about a remake that wasn't excited about the original.
Exactly.
But you said about the censorship and how strict the censorship is.
Yeah.
What else have they banned there? Like, what hasn't...
Loads of films.
Really?
Like, loads of films. Like, the biggest one, I'd say the most recent one I would think of would be Ghostbusters, the remake with...
the women.
With Kirsten Wiig.
With the women.
Yeah, but, like, that didn't get there. And the reason for that was because... it had a depiction of like ghosts and ghouls, for example. All of the Pirates of the Caribbean films didn't get in there because they had like, you know, there was depictions of like cannibalism and ghosts and what have you. And again, like, you know, Western audiences are completely, wouldn't bat an eyelid about that.
Yeah,
you know, that's
sort of
like, they wouldn't think about it. But in China, because censorship is so strict and they have a real big thing about ghosts and spirituality, because as you know, China is a communist country and they do kind of like, religion is barely tolerated.
For sure,
if at all.
Yeah.
So they're certainly not going to allow...
Is there much piracy?
Piracy? I know the
internet is like obviously heavily controlled as well in China. But in terms of like being able to see films have been banned, is there
massive?
Is there really?
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive. Like, I mean, they have these... There's in Beijing, there are these two...
So the appetite is there.
Oh,
now.
Definitely.
Yeah,
100%. This is the thing. Like, the appetite is definitely there. Like, in China, or in Beijing, rather, there are these two kind of big, massive supermarkets. One is called the Pearl Market. The other is called the Silk Market.
Uh-huh.
And it is just, from bottom to top, full of counterfeit goods.
Wow, okay.
Like, everything you could think of, like Prada jackets, Gucci bags, you name it, it's there. And I noticed because I was there and I bought a few stuff. I don't care.
You're drip.
I'm drip. I need that drizzy drip. Like, you know what I mean? But like, and in there as well is tons and tons of DVDs of films that are literally just in cinemas.
Wow.
Well, at the time, were just in cinemas, but like you could buy them and they absolutely worked, and you could take them back to your hotel room and stick them in the DVD that
for
was
sure,
in the hotel
yeah.
room. They'd play absolutely fine. There wouldn't be a problem. Now, in saying that, you know, if you turn on the subtitles or whatever, bananas.
It
wouldn't make any kind of sense at all.
For
and
sure.
like there have been loads of like jokes and memes about it over the years.
Yeah.
About terrible bootleg.
Can I ask you right now? It's obvious then why. Say Hollywood is so keen to break into the Chinese box office, the Chinese market and stuff. But 5 years ago, there was a major push by Hollywood to try and get Chinese audiences on board. How did that go?
Really badly.
Okay.
Really badly. Like, did not work at all. Just like they threw Matt Damon at it, and poor old Matt Damon couldn't even get them excited
about
it.
They always throw Matt Damon at
it,
don't they?
Like, I mean, he's this generation's Tom Hanks. Like,
nobody has
a bad word to say about him. Like, he was hanging out down in, like, you know, in the 40
Doggy.
In the 40 foot.
Oh, like, the 40 foot. Yeah, yeah.
Was it the 40 foot?
Oh, yeah. What's
whatever.
Whatever. He had a super value bag.
It was the bag, and everyone was like, we loved it. But anyways, so they made this film called The Great Wall.
Yeah.
And like it had like a, you know, pretty strong cast. Like you had Matt Damon, Pedro Pascal was in it as well. And the whole thing about it was these adventurers from overseas had arrived in China and had walked into the middle of this massive war and all the rest of it. And there are these big, huge battle sequences and all the rest of it. And I remember going to see that in the old Savoy 1, RIP. Mm-hmm. And it was like somebody farted. Like, it was just like people were getting up out of their seats and walking out. And everyone was just like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
And the thing about, and I genuinely do think that a lot of this is down to the fact that, you know, certainly you can make films that will appeal to everyone, that will have a broad appeal. But I think when you try to kind of bridge the gap between what Eastern audiences expect
yeah.
and what Western audiences expect, you end up basically making something that nobody really
wants.
Like, you're compromising too much.
Yeah.
And then eventually just insulting.
To get something, and then
yeah. eventually you're insulting everybody. And, like, a lot of people thought that, like, you know, the Great Wall was, like, going to be this, like, you know, this
epic.
Is going to... Well, like, an epic, but, like, in the sense of, like, this is now going to determine what blockbusters are going to look like for the next 15 years, because we're going to have to make films now that are just going to have to appeal to Chinese audience. And that means no more gay characters. And, you know, it's got to show China in a positive light. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a real fear that, like, this was going to be a thing. And then, of course, you know, died a death in the box office. And then everyone just kind of, like, said, right, okay, well, if we can make some money in the Chinese box office, great, but we're not going to...
But we're not going to court it.
Not going to court it anymore, because the... The reality of it is that China has such a protectionist policy with regards to its film industry that they're never going to break it. They're never, ever going to allow these things. Like, you know, the Chinese market is happy enough to buy, you know, Mercedes-Benz and BMWs and Lamborghinis and all the rest of it, luxury items, because that is a status symbol in China. But in terms of, like, you know, seeing an American film or an English film or even an Irish film, that's nobody really cares, because that's not something they can take around and show. Like, it's not a status symbol.
Can I ask you as well about, because you were talking about the stuff that flopped, like Star Wars, Ghostbusters didn't do well. Talk to me about, like, Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah. Didn't do well at all. And you would think, like, a film that is set in, like, features, you know, Asian actors.
And very unapologetically, like, this entire cast is Asian, and, you know, it's a great film.
Mm.
Like, I loved that movie.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really well-made romantic comedy film. And again, you know, featured Asian actors and all the rest of it. Like, Michelle Yeoh is...
Phenomenal.
Like, I'm saying she's phenomenal. I mean, saying she is huge.
Huge,
like,
of course.
Unbelievably massive. Like, Tom Cruise times a thousand. Like, really, like, really, really big. Like, and the film just didn't do well at all. It just didn't do well at all. And then on top of that as well, you had, like, you know, like, the film was not insensitive or in, you know.
No, yeah.
Unaware of, like, what China was like or anything.
Sure.
There was no reason why it shouldn't have done well.
Yeah.
But, it just didn't. I mean, there are loads of theories. Like, a lot of people kind of think that, you know, the Chinese cinema is essentially kind of did what they do to Chinese films here, which is, like, put it on at, like, 3 o'clock in the day when two people and their
dog... Nobody's going to be able
to see when there's no
it.
Business for it. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of that as well, Chinese studios were probably encouraged to put their own films next to it so that they can say, oh, you know, our film beat these American films and all the rest.
There was loads of other ones there as well that you said. There was, like, The Greatest Showman flopped, Inside Out flopped, The Hunger Games flopped, Dark Knight Rises flopped.
Even Mulan. And again, like, Mulan, the live action...
The remake, they were charging 25 quid for on Disney Plus or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And again, but there you go. Like, this was a story that was, like, you know, based on a Chinese folk legend.
For sure, yeah.
You would think, okay, if any film is going to do well there, surely a film that is based on a Chinese folk legend would do well. And it didn't do well. Because, again, when they looked at it, they just saw, like, this very Americanized, very Disney-fied version of the story. And they're just like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
It's not real, yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, there was all other stuff as well with it. Like, so it's just, I mean, like, it's become a thing now, I think, with a lot of studios that, you know, because the film industry is in such flux at the minute, you have, you know, streaming and Disney Plus, you've got Netflix, and then on top of that as well, you have, like, the strike and everything.
Yeah.
Like, the actors are probably going to go out and strike pretty soon as
unless they can get a deal. Yeah, I was reading that recently, actually.
Yeah. SAG-AFTRA basically voted for strike authorization. Yeah. And then on top of that, then you've got AI on top of all that as well. So, like, you know, I think the reality of it is that the film industry now has bigger fish to fry than trying to crack the Chinese market.
Yeah.
So they're
just,
and considering how there have been so many expensive flops that were geared towards the Chinese box office, that they're just not even going to bother with it anymore.
And it's really funny because the stuff that did well in China and America, there doesn't seem to be any
common thread.
No.
No, not at all. Like, you know, Avengers Endgame was the biggest film and it made $858 million. That did really well there.
Holy God.
Yeah. Transformers The Last Knight, which was terrible. Like, muck, did did absolute gang, like it was really bad, and like did gangbusters there. Yeah. Iron Man 2, not great. Furious 7, not great.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda 3, not great. But you know, they all did huge. So like, and again,
but there's no commonality in those. No, there's no logic. That's what works.
That's the thing, and that's like crazy. I think a lot of it is down to the fact that like there really just isn't accounting for taste. And I say this as somebody that you know does this professionally, and there are stuff that I've seen that I'm like, that is going to do so well, and it does nothing. Like the biggest one, the biggest upset I've ever had was like Venom with Tom Hardy.
Oh wow!
I saw it. I was like, this is gonna bomb. Nobody's gonna watch this. This is terrible. And then it went out and made silly money. So like, and then there was a sequel. So like, who knows? Like, I mean, I just think in all kind of film audiences, in all box offices, there is no accounting for taste. But that really seems to hold true in China.
You were talking about when you were in China at Christmas. Why was it unusual?
So this is the thing, and I was saying this to Kate, the producer. Sorry. Yeah. So in China, they don't obviously because you know, like I was saying, like it's like. Atheism is essentially like the state religion.
For sure.
They can't, any of the Christmas songs that you hear, and they play them everywhere. They just carpet them everywhere. But it was only Jingle Bells. So you'd just be going around just hearing Jingle, and like the entire time, they don't change it up. They just play this one version of Jingle Bells everywhere. They don't play Silent Night, they don't play any of the other ones. And like, it's a normal day. Like, Christmas Day in China is just a normal day. But yet, they have all the wrappings, all the trimmings, they've got like Christmas lights everywhere, but everyone's just walking. And I think a lot of it is down to the fact that, again, this kind of goes to what I was saying, is that there is no cultural connection to Christmas because China was not a Christian.
It's never been a Christian country.
Yeah, it's never been a Christian country. And I think the only reason why they were trying to kind of give Christmas a go was because they wanted people to buy presents.
Boost shopping, yeah.
Basically,
for sure.
Yeah, boost shopping and all the rest of it. And then they would, you know, exchange gifts and all the rest of it. And it would become a thing.
Just Jingle Bells
the entire time. It was so strange. And like, I remember like we went to this like Radisson Hotel for Christmas dinner just to be like, okay, well, we may as well try do something normal here. And it was all just like, it was all Westerners. It was all foreigners. We're all just looking at each other like, God, this is great. Turkey then. Yeah, great. Yeah. And like, it was the worst turkey I've ever had in my life as well. That was the other thing.
I could imagine it was,
it was strange. But like, it was good crack, but like very odd.
It's really interesting, Brian, because they've obviously poured so much money, so much time, so much effort into this, but they're giving up, it sounds like, at the moment.
I think, because I think, you know, like I was saying, there is no accounting for taste. There doesn't seem to be any kind of common thread. There's nothing to go on. There's not even like one actor that they all love, or there's not like one kind of like genre of film that does well.
Sure.
So I don't know. Like, I think, and I mean, there's, you know, you could start talking about like, there's all other things. Like, you know, there's been some talk that, you know, Chinese cinema figures or the audience figures and what have you are being overinflated and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Or that, like, you know, the box office that they're reporting is they're underreporting it and then just, you know, pocketing the money themselves. Yeah. There's all sorts of things. So no one really knows
what the real
figures are. So much of the information that comes out of China is protected or is put through the prism of their own censorship.
Well, it's really fascinating, and I want to see what happens next with it, because if they can crack that, it'll do some good anyway.
I mean, I don't know if it'll do good. That's the thing, because like,
well,
I mean,
well, it'll be some good for bottom
line. Well, for studios, yeah, but like, I mean, in terms of like,
not for us,
but like, I mean, if they start, you know, tailoring films to the Chinese market and it's so restrictive and it does so kind of have to be kind of milquetoast and all the rest of it, it's not going to be good for us.
Fair.
And because studios are now so terrified of losing money, and because they're all publicly traded, and you know, their stock prices live or die by weekend receipts and all the rest of it.
For sure.
They have to constantly be seen to be, you know, doing growth and making profit, but it's not really working out for them. Like,
can't please all the people all the time.
That's it.
Brian, thanks a million for coming in. Pleasure to see you as always. You can catch BrianEntertainment.ie. Any pods on the go at the moment, or are you doing?
No, nothing at the minute, no.
All right, you're grand.
I'm busy, but I'm taking it easy.
Yeah, you're dead. You know what? You're dead right.
I'm dead right. I'm
absolutely
taking it easy. Taking it right.
Brian, thanks a million. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.